Hi, this is Mike, co-host of Realistic Sustainability, the podcast, which you probably already know, but I'm also the author of A Beginner's Guide to Greening Your Life. That was the book that led to our Facebook page, our Facebook group, and, well, even this show. It offers tips on promoting your positive footprint while decreasing your carbon footprint. So if you want to read what started all of this, get A Beginner's Guide to Greening Your Life, available on Amazon, eBay, Etsy, or just visit greeningyourlife.org for more information. Thank you for joining the sustainable movement and promoting a greener future.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, and welcome back to Realistic Sustainability. I'm Mike, and I'm here with Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm not too bad. So how you been?
Busy, but good. Very good.
Seems to be pretty common right now. I don't know what it is about this summer, but everything seems to be going at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting way of putting it. It seems like no matter how much I get done, my list grows exponentially. So the faster I get things done, the faster new things come at me. And they're not even always related. It's not always just work or business related. A lot of it's personal, a lot of it's home life. But it seems like one thing comes off that list, it's replaced by three more. Like, my list is a hydra, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, it's it has seemed like that. Now, granted, I'm trying to split time between, you know, the personal stuff, my own personal garden, the garden that we've turned the whole neighborhood into, and along with all the PR things that come along with it, it just seems like there's always something that has to be done. The kids' STEM programs, the, you know, now the wife and I are looking at rental houses. There's all kinds of things. Yours is primarily your business, isn't it?
To some degree. Yeah, I mean, the catering's doing well. I'm struggling to find a new location to cook out of for this fall. I've already outgrown the one I'm currently able to use, and I'm okay in the summer, but when fall rolls around, I'm going to be in trouble. So I've been looking for another kitchen to use, and that's taken up a lot of time, primarily because a lot of people just want to rent me their whole building, but I'm not looking to open a restaurant right now. Not exactly.
Right.
I just
need
the use of the kitchen to build it. I did look at a really nice place on Thursday that is tentatively for rent. Not really sure how to say this. They weren't looking to rent it. They were looking to either relaunch their business or sell the building. But they are open to the notion of me renting it for a few weekends in October. So I'm really hoping that we can come to an agreement on price, because it's a big commercial kitchen. It's got a huge walk-in, has everything that I would possibly need or want. And it's in a big, large building. I only say it like that because there's room. I have room for stuff. I have room for dry storage. I have room for my hot boxes and my wheels. I'm not tripping over anyone else. It's also not a currently functioning kitchen in terms of like restaurant daily food service. So I don't have to worry about working around other people. It's just me. And I am really looking forward to it just being me.
Yeah. And you and I were trying to come up with different solutions, and so far I've airballed most of them. So I'm glad you're at least finding options out there.
Well, I'm finding a couple, but it doesn't change the fact that they're all temporary. So I'm hoping that I will have a permanent home in the next year. I there's a couple places I'm looking at, but the cheapest one right now is $150,000. So, I mean, it's going to take a minute to get some money together.
Right. Yeah, the stresses of building the business.
Absolutely.
But you should be kind of happy today. We're going to talk about food.
Kind of. You want to call it food?
Today we're going to... Now, you're going to make people mad.
I don't care.
Today we're going to talk about plant-based foods. So right now, in most cases, when you talk plant-based foods, everybody immediately goes to what they've been hearing on TV and on the radio, which is like pretend Whoppers or plant-based Whoppers or Impossible Foods. What's the other one? Beyond Meat, those companies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more out there than just what we knew from the Whopper coming out.
Well, here's the thing. There are some amazing chefs out there that are incredibly knowledgeable about gastronomic science, and they can take things like black beans and soy, and they can make really close textured foods for the people that really miss meat. And don't get me wrong, I love meat. I also love vegetables. And I don't have any problem with a vegan lifestyle, a vegan diet, or plant-based diets. I think they're wonderful. But I will say I have a huge issue with the companies that do the Impossible Whoppers and all those things, the Beyond Meat, because they're not. If you've got to pack something plant-based full of so much salt and so much preservatives to make you think you're eating a piece of beef, it can't be any better for you than the piece of beef.
Well, and we're going to get to that because I have the Whopper versus Impossible Whopper numbers.
Uh-huh.
But first things first, when we talk about plant-based foods, just as you said, it is any grown plant being used to replace a meat substance. Mm-hmm. So recently I had a burger that was a portobello mushroom burger, but it didn't have a burger. The mushroom was the burger. And I wasn't quite down with the full texture. I know why they do it, because that's a closer texture to meat. It's a very hearty item there, that mushroom. I know that it drives people nuts because people love portobello mushrooms, but I've never been a big mushroom guy, but I did try it, and that one wasn't close. But I see that's how they do it, is things with textures.
Okay, we're going to unpack this little bit by little bit. I love portobello mushrooms. I think they're delicious and they're fantastic. B, anyone that says they're close to beef is smoking crack. And C, I'm going to say this, and this may ruffle some feathers, but using the phrase portobello mushroom burger is a placebo to make you okay without using just the word sandwich. It's not a burger unless you take that portobello and you grind it up with a lot of breadcrumbs and some other binders, and you make a ground patty, and then you grill that ground patty and it goes from pink to brown. It's not a burger. It's not, you can't just throw something between two buns and call it a burger, because it is not a hamburger. It's not. Now, I've had some delicious portobello mushroom sandwiches. When I worked at this bar in Corona, if you got the portobello mushroom burger, instead of having buns, you would have two mushroom caps that would be grilled and seasoned with garlic, salt, and Parmesan. That was your bun. And a lot of people would just get a third mushroom in the middle instead of a patty, and they'd essentially be eating a stack of mushrooms. And it was really good. I mean, it really was tasty if you like mushrooms. But it's not, I don't know. I understand that there is the way they market it is their mentality is that if they can convince people that it's not that different from beef, then they will lure people into trying it. And the more people that try it, just statistically, a small percentage of people are going to convert over. And that's fine. I really don't care about that. If you want to greenwash with food, as long as you're making healthy stuff, I'm okay with it. But I'm too literal with it. And if I'm eating plant-based foods, I want to know exactly that it's plant-based foods. I want you to tell me exactly what it is. Don't pull the wool over my eyes. Don't try to convince me that it tastes or looks or smells like something else. If you're going to make me meatballs made without meat and they're black beans, that's cool. Just tell me. Don't be like, hey, try this. It was good, wasn't it? Guess what? I don't like the guess what game. Not a fan.
But you do know why we have to make this transition. That even if it's not healthy, because that's what Burger King did. Burger King proved that they could make a plant-based burger that is just as unhealthy as their current burger, and so that people would eat it. So people would like it. People would try it. But they did it because they know the trends, where everything is going with climate change, you know, energy waste, all these things. Current, as you know, livestock, cows specifically, but all meat creates a massive amount of emissions. We've had shows on that. These are the first attempts to say you can eat just as unhealthy with plant-based foods. And that's really what Burger King was saying, I think.
Well, really what they're doing is that everything wrong and everything backwards. If they were smart, and I mean this when I say this, and this goes for the people that market the food, the people that come up with these recipes, and you can tag team that with the people that look at the direction of the world and realize all the problems, they're all going about this completely wrong. If you want to really affect change in the American, I'm using American specifically because we live here, diet, don't mess with the food we already have. Update and change the way we breed it, we raise it, restructure commercial meat production. Just take it and whack it with a hammer. So then, once that's smacked really hard, the cost of beef is dramatically going to go up. If it goes high enough, people will just stop eating it. The people that can afford it will eat it. But the average person will start eating it way, way less, and they'll just naturally gravitate towards cheaper, healthier stuff. And in this moment, when I say cheaper and healthier, it sounds kind of strange, but when meat is going to outcost produce, like, drastically, they're not going to have any other options. I personally don't think that the answer is taking a bunch of vegetables and then completely packing them full of so much preservatives they taste just like the fake meat we normally eat. I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's gross sounding. Doesn't taste that great either.
Well, and that's so in most meatless diets, when you go plant-based, it's usually quite healthy. There's, you know, plenty of protein in a lot of those things, that even if it's not meat. I know a lot of, I was watching David Attenborough talk about, you know, people believe that you have to have lots of meat for your protein. And I think he said that, when's the last time you saw a scrawny buffalo? You know, there's plenty of proteins out there.
Well, you're not wrong. And in fact, if you look at most species of herbivores, most species of large mammals that are herbivores, they're usually pretty husky, pretty healthy, and to some degree, fairly muscular. Even if they have a large amount of fat, they're incredibly strong. I mean, if you can look at the bull, just the American bull, like what we use to breed our cows. Have you ever seen a fat bull? I'm serious, though. I mean, yeah, I'm sure overweight bulls exist, but I mean, they're pretty stocky and pretty, you know, I mean, they're pretty beefy. Excuse the pun. But you didn't even laugh at my beefy joke.
I'm saving it. I'm going to have a real big laugh soon.
Okay, well, you put it in your pocket because there's more coming. But you look at that kind of stuff, and you look at species like buffalo and look at things like hippopotamus and these huge animals that eat, for the most part, nothing but plants. It's just elephants, great example. They're tremendously powerful, very large. And did you know this, that they found out that, like, back in the old days of gladiators and stuff like that in Rome and Greece and all these places – they used to have plant-based diets.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the fighters only. Like, the people that, the combatants, ate plant-based, like, vegetarian diets. There is a documentary, and of course I'm going to forget about it, but it's hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he talks for 20 minutes about how he built up and all this stuff about pumping the iron and eating all this meat. And he's like, and I want all these things. And I found out 50 years later, I was doing it completely wrong. And he talks about the health benefits of eating a plant-based diet and all the protein, everything you can get from nature without needing to consume the flesh of another living creature.
Yeah. And I'm hoping this summer I will experience that even more, because my garden at this point, I've already got more lettuce and spinach than our family can keep up with. We're now cutting it already and giving it to others. Mm-hmm. But I have three different species of lettuce. I have spinach out there right now. There's a kind of basil that you cut up into very small pieces to add to your salad. It functions like a lettuce. But we're already getting a ton of it. So we're going to start shifting more and more as this stuff is growing, of course. But that's when I think plant-based diet, I think of that healthy side. And what fast food was doing was saying, no, 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 you can be just as unhealthy. Don't worry. We can take something that is absolutely wonderful for you and try to make it taste like the same thing you came to get last time. And really, and I'm going to take the minute right now, because I'm going to actually tell you some stats calories wise. So I'm going to tell you the Whopper, and I want you to tell me the Impossible Whopper. Just guess. Okay.
Okay.
So the regular Whopper with everything on it, no cheese, is 660 calories.
Okay.
So the identical Impossible Whopper where the patty is 100% made of plant-based ingredients. What do you think its total calories is?
740.
It is 630. So it is almost identical between the two.
But that's not surprising.
Well, I mean, the bun is there. I mean, what's funny is you have a patty made of plant-based patty with a bunch of plant on it. So you still have your lettuce, tomato, onion, you know, that kind of stuff, pickle. So fats. There's, of course, fat by grams and then saturated fats. Fat by grams on regular Whopper is 40.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the Impossible Whopper is?
Well, can I pause this and can I skip ahead and ask you a question?
Sure.
What's the carbohydrate in the sugar?
Yep, carbohydrates is the next one on here. We'll skip ahead to it. So the carbohydrates for the Whopper, the meat Whopper, is 49 grams of carbs.
Yep.
So what is the Impossible Whopper's carbohydrate total?
If the regular one's 49 and they're almost identical calorie count, I skipped the fat for a reason, because the fat shouldn't be that high on the plant-based thing, but it should have ridiculous amounts of sugar and carbs in it for binders. So I would assume it'd be like 50, 55.
It's 58, very close. So it's actually it's quite a bit more carbs, 9 more grams of carbs for the plant-based Whopper.
Not surprised at all.
Now, here's a fun one, protein. Protein on the regular Whopper, and if you remember back probably 5 years ago, Whopper used to advertise its high protein content as if it was going to negate anything else that came with it. 28 grams of protein in a single Whopper. How about the plant-based Impossible Whopper?
Well, if it's a plant-based patty, they want to be cost-effective, so it's probably soy and black beans. 32.
25. Only 3 less.
I'm actually surprised it's lower.
Yeah. Yep. So it's almost identical calories. Just so you know, the grams of fat. The grams of fat for the Whopper were 40, and the Impossible Whopper was 34. Mm-hmm. Saturated fat's only one off. 12 for the Whopper, 11 for the Impossible Whopper. So what Burger King really did try to do was take something that could be healthy for you and prove that they could degrade it to a point that it would be just like the Whopper.
See, they did that, but they're not the first people that have done that. Now, we talk about greenwashing all the time. Anytime you see the words fat-free, I'm serious, sugar-free on something that should have a sweetened taste, it's greenwashing. Now, I use salad dressings fairly often, but any salad dressing is made is going to be made with really high fat foods. Now, if they say sugar free, not a big deal. They say fat free though on something that has a cream base. Essentially, what they do is they remove the cream, they remove the fat, and they add sugar to as a placeholder. You look at Light Ranch as a great example. So that's why I asked you about the carbohydrates of the Whopper, because if they're gonna take the meat out, because predominantly, honestly, meat's not that high in fat. Meat's pretty lean. You get your fat from the binders, and to push it further, fat's not bad for you. Sugar is bad for you. I know that if anyone that knows me and hears me say this is going to think I'm a lunatic, because I am a really fat guy. I can promise you, I got my voluptuous figure from too many carbohydrates and starches. I didn't get this big from eating bacon. I got this big from going, oh, look, I want my 13th slice of bread for the day, or a bag of pretzels, or my 9th bag of popcorn. Like, I eat a lot of carb. This morning, I had 5 pancakes for breakfast. 5.
With syrup?
No, I don't use syrup that often. We mushed up a bunch of strawberries, added a little sugar to make a sauce, and did that.
That's better than the candy syrup that goes on most of them. Jamie can have 2 pancakes, but the syrup will actually go over the first one in the plate. She makes a pool of syrup.
I used to do that. I used to call my pancakes syrup sponges. I used to burn them so they'd be really hard on the outside, and then I'd cut them, and then I'd fill the cracks where I cut with syrup so it'd absorb in like a sponge. I'm not going to lie, but we got to get back on topic here. So with them taking this Impossible Whopper, this plant-based thing, on one hand, you know, I do applaud them for giving that demographic an option on their menu. But on the other hand, it just goes to show that, like, there's a lot of things that just shouldn't be made certain ways. If you want to eat plant-based foods, learn to like plants.
Well, that you would hope, but I think what they were trying to do was get away from the rising cost of meat and still be able to keep the same customer. Because unfortunately, here in the United States, we are addicted to the fats, the sugars, the salts that are in fast food.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I'm not a small man. I am also struggling with getting off of that. So they know that if they had to stop serving hamburgers at some point or raise the price of a hamburger, they have to have an alternative, something that people will eat. So they did. They took what would normally be one of the healthier lifestyles, which is plant-based eating, and turned it into a Whopper. And they're not the only ones, by the way. There is Taco Bell. Taco Bell's working on a meat substitute. It was Del Taco that does have a meat substitute. There is Quiznos is now, instead of buying corned beef because of the price, has an alternate corned beef, which is a plant-based corned beef.
Quiznos still exists.
I pulled this stuff online. Guys, we're from the Flint, Michigan area. Some of these places have fled. So we don't see them, but I know they're still in the rest of the country. Carl's Jr. is another one I have not seen in a very long time, but they have a Beyond Burger, Beyond Famous Burger.
You have a Hardee's in Owosso.
Do we?
Yeah, it's on M21 on the south side of the road, left-hand side, right before you get to downtown.
Well, and oddly enough, you know who else has currently a Beyond slider? White Castle.
They do. They do have Beyond sliders, and they're actually more expensive than their regular ones, so I hope they're good.
Right. So all of a sudden, there's this trend, and it's, you know, when I go into the grocery store now, I'm starting to see baka sitting up on right next to the meats. Like, it is becoming something people are trying and some people are liking, and climate-wise, could make it a little better. Now, I say could because I don't know the process that these plant-based burgers are going through. I know that they're not having the same emissions of cattle, but if they're going through massive processing and in excess of what everything else is, I reserve the right to change my mind. But this is an attempt to curb the American diet to a plant-based that is not healthy, because they know that most people will not switch to a healthy plant-based diet.
Well, but they have to realize, and if they don't, I hope they do one day, because you know, the public doesn't really pay attention to this. Plant-based eating is, in this country, a fad diet. It's a crash diet. I only say that because unless you live in a really big city that has enough businesses to cater to all demographics, it's incredibly hard to go on a truly plant-based diet in a place like Durand or in a place like Montrose. It's hard to do because you're not going to be home every night for every single meal. You're not going to be able to cook everything for yourself all the time. But also, and I mean this when I say this, not everyone knows how to cook. Not everyone is going to want to be eating the same thing, the same salad with no dressing and no cheese on it. And yeah, there are dressings you can get, but like, do you really want to go to the store and figure out which ones are which? Most people don't. It's an education. It's an education process. And I think it's very worth looking into. It's worth taking the time to do it. But it's not an easy change. It's not something that's done simply. And these fast food places, while for whatever reason are giving it a shot, I think are just kind of barking up the wrong tree. They're doing a really bad job of it.
Well, and everybody knows that I've struggled with the transition. Now, I've lost 14 pounds, but some of that is also me trying to create a balance in what I eat, trying to reduce my portions. So it's a mix of all. I am eating more plant-based stuff, but I'm certainly not exclusive. We just had it's Father's Day. I've been to restaurants 3 days this week, and none of them were plant-based meals. And I'll tell you, all three places we went to, none of them, zero of them, other than a salad, had a plant-based plate.
Are you telling me you didn't eat French fries at any of these places?
What's that?
You telling me you didn't have French fries at any of these places?
Well, I had a baked potato.
It's plant.
But I mean a whole meal being plant-based.
You know, I don't. So here's the thing about plant-based foods. I don't want to call it plant-based foods. Here's the deal about eating vegetarian or eating with the absence of animal products. I can name dozens and dozens of things that I love. Fruits, vegetables, things you can make with them. But at the end of the day, you do get tired of just eating salads when you go out to a restaurant. If that place is your normal blue-collar, middle-class America place, they're not going to have anything. You might get lucky when you go into like a Mediterranean or a Greek place, or if, you know, living near Flint, a Coney Island, a lot of those places will have different things. They'll have hummus, they'll have pita breads that are completely plant-based. There's all different kinds of things they might have, but still your odds are pretty slim. So it's hard and it's incredibly frustrating. So I don't like beat yourself up for the fact that you probably had a steak or shrimp, because I know you.
I had both. that is true. And I tend to nowadays migrate more to a fish, but the place that we went, it was, these last few places were pretty much beef related. But other than Adiamo's, when I go there, they have a fantastic vegetarian dish. So what I need to do is start tracking the places that do and start going to those. It is hard. It is hard. So I did look up. There's a goodfoodinstitute.com, GFI.com.
Really?
Plant-based food stats. In 2020, 7 billion in sales in plant-based production food, not produce. So the Baca burgers of the world, the Beyond Meats, those. $7 billion, which is up from the year before of $5.5 billion.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's still better than the alternative.
The plant-based foods are growing 2.5 times faster than total food sales between 2018 and 2020. I don't think we're shocked by that because it's starting to hit the news. It's something that we're seeing more and more in public. And a crap load of places have signed on with either Beyond Meat, Impossible Foods, or some of the others like Morningstar Farms by Kellogg,
mm-hmm,
to create or have a plant-based fast food. So A&W Burgers is trying a plant-based Fat Burger, Bear Burger, Fuddruckers, Blaze Pizza, Hard Rock Cafe is looking for several items. Little Caesars is looking to change the meats on their pizzas to plant-based. Okay. BurgerFi, which we don't have here. Cheesecake Factory, Denny's, which I honestly didn't know that was meat to begin with. McDonald's. Hot Dog House was looking for a vegan hot dog. Red Robin, who is primarily burgers, is looking for replacements. Dunkin', mainly for their breakfast sandwiches.
I was like, they're a donut shop.
Right. No, they have. That's why they took donut out of their name. Now they're just Dunkin'.
Well, that still doesn't make any sense because they should spell it different, because Dunkin' was for dunking donuts and coffee. That was the whole premise of the name. That's why it's spelled like that. Sorry. Yep. Okay, I'm done being picky. Keep going.
Well, if they change it long enough, most of us will die off and we won't even know the history of it.
That's probably accurate.
Taco Bell, of course, is looking for the meat substitute.
Edible Legos.
And Kentucky Fried Chicken has actually found they already have a meat substitute for fried chicken.
Can't do it.
Has no. A texture. Yes, they have it. It's a thing.
So what are they going to do? Like freeze dry celery for the bones and then put this fake stuff around it? Like, no. I'm not okay.
You can find it on YouTube. You can peel it apart. And it has a texture that looks like you're peeling apart chicken.
I love good news. I don't want the illusion of meat. I just want plants or I want meat. Everyone is missing the point with this. If you've got to trick people and put the preservatives in, it's still bad for you. Why would you? Okay, you want to talk about making something worse? Let's take something plant-based and deep fry it.
Well, and that's because if Kentucky Fried Chicken has their chicken and then they have on the side vegan meals or salads or any of the like a black bean anything, no one buys them. No one buys them. They have to figure out how to stop buying the meat because it's too expensive. It's becoming too expensive for them. It's going to price them out of the market. So they can't stop selling chicken like products. Because let's face it, sometimes you go to a fast food restaurant, it is a chicken like product.
By fast food, you mean Chinese, because Chinese has got 50 different ways of chicken like products.
So they have to figure out that their customer base wants unhealthy. They want high sodium. That's what they're there for. They're there for this unhealthy, highly tasty food. If you just, McDonald's has been offering a salad for how long? I think they've probably sold 15 of them.
I don't know. I'd say 16, 17. I get the salads there if I'm on a no carb diet and we have to go to McDonald's. I don't know if they still have salads. They used to. But if we want to talk about plant-based meat substitutes, I would like to formally volunteer McDonald's to make a plant-based McRib. Because if their actual meat substitute doesn't taste like meat, let's hope their plant-based one will. Because the McRib is disgusting.
Great. Now, see, we're going to, between my Denny's comment and your McDonald's comment, we're getting sued for this episode,
bro. Most of our listeners aren't in this country. They're going to agree or they're going to be confused. I don't care.
So when I think plant-based, I'm going to continue to stick with my salads, my peppers, like what we're doing here in town. We're trying to create an area where vegetables are plentiful and find new and better ways of cooking them. If I go to a fast food place, it doesn't matter which one I get. Sometimes if I go to Burger King, I might get the Impossible Whopper. At least that's one less animal that's been killed, but I still don't know if the embodied energy is different. I know either way, I'm not eating healthy.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're going to fast food, you're not eating healthy, period. I'm developing a big vendetta against fast food, almost all of it, because it's really, for starters, during the pandemic, fast food was the only part of food industry that's seen a exponential growth in business. They got incredibly busier, and they're still busy. They're still doing way more sales. They probably only have done more sales. Their prices have increased, and the quality of the food has not increased. Now you're seeing sit-down restaurant-level prices at fast food. And I'm sorry, but like, if I don't have time to go sit there in a decent place and pay $10 or $12 for a burger, fries, and a drink, I don't want to pay it at the window and paper.
Right.
I just don't. I don't. And now this has taken maybe a momentary step away from the health aspect of it, but it's just, I'm starting to really despise all of them. I understand they're struggling to stay in the market and figure out how they're going to keep their numbers and, you know, show that perpetual growth every year. But I just kind of wish they'd fold up shop and get out of Dodge.
Well, and I'll tell you, part of that 14 pounds I've lost was probably not visiting a window.
Or in McDonald's case, a parking lot.
Yeah. Well, because we can't seem to get it from the window. But that's probably where that weight has come or lost from, because even if you just cook at home, it's healthier. Now I'm just trying to do more with plants.
Well, it is healthier, but it goes a little further than that. It's not just that it's healthier. And while it is healthy, but it's also, if you'll notice, when you eat at home, it's probably, at least I've noticed, it stays in your system longer. You eat at home and you're not going to feel hungry in an hour or 2 hours. Right. If you go to McDonald's, like, there's been numerous times I've came over to your house, we packed up the bags, we headed up to record, and we stopped and got McDonald's. I had eaten either right before I left my house or eaten on the way to your house, and there I was an hour later, you know, shoving a number two or number three down my gullet, and I felt like I hadn't had really much of anything at all after. Like, I wasn't hungry, and I want no misunderstandings. I wasn't hungry when I had the McDonald's. I ate it because I ate it. That's on me. That's my bad. It smells good. It's greasy. It's salty. It hits all my addictive, you know, little sensors in the brain. The fat in me lights up like a Christmas tree. And, you know, I want a trip to obesity on The Price is Right. But after that, though, like, after we're in the middle of our recording, and I'm like, God, I could really go for a snack. I just ate like 1,000 calories half an hour earlier. And I'm like, I could really go for something to eat. Like, and I felt hungry. It wasn't like it was, you know, me just wanting food for the sake of food. Like, it doesn't stay with you. It's garbage. So you tend to eat more. And so, you know, you're eating, what, 1,500 empty calories? Like, it's all fat. It's all garbage, all processed nastiness. And then you get home and, what, 40 minutes later, you're looking for a squirt and some chips because you're bored? Or Werner's or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's I've been pretty surprised by... Because obviously I haven't cut meat out of my diet, but I try to go 4 to 6 ounces,
mm-hmm.
roughly, that how satisfied I am with a very large salad from primarily the garden, which is nice because you get to pick it fresh, and maybe a potato, you know, or something of that nature, a little bit of rice or something, and then maybe 4 to 6 ounces of meat. For a 250-pound guy, I've been very surprised on how well I'm satisfied for a longer period of time with that. And you're right. If I go through a window, it's like my body is super excited for the toy it just got. And when it's gone, it transfers to sadness and an hour later, hunger. Anyways, we've jumped off of the rails for our topic. The plant-based foods are... trending way up, but I think in a lot of ways the wrong ones are trending way up. We have to continue to focus on farm to table, local produce, and finding more ways to get more people interested in that produce. And like what we're doing here in Duran, plant it everywhere because not everybody can afford it. And we can mm-hmm. get away from some of those windows. We can get away from some of this commercialized stuff and maybe even some of these plant-based alternatives that may not turn out great in the long run for us.
Well, I don't think that that's going to be a surprise. I think that if they're going to treat these plant-based alternatives like they treated the meat they use in these products, then you're going to see the same results. If you already read, you know, the fat and the nutritional information from the fake Whopper versus the real one, that's just going to go across the board. That's not going to change. It's not, you know, when they find their magic chicken substitute, it's not going to be any better. You know, it'd be wonderful. It would be absolutely wonderful. And I mean this when I say this, if we had a fast food place that served plant-based foods and you looked at the nutritional information and they were 30 to 40% healthier than every single other place, that'd be wonderful. It would be a dream come true. But if they keep putting them through the same processes and the same procedures, it's just going to keep pushing on the same problems. It's not good.
Which is another reason why eating local at local places matters. That they're more likely to have healthier food. Because these large corporations and fast food restaurants buy massive bulk for pennies, and it's very rarely a healthy food.
Well, that's true.
So, well, that's all I have this week. Thank you so much for having a wonderful food conversation, even though this food conversation, I believe, was a little under your skin.
Yeah, it is. Real quick, before you close this out,
yes.
that documentary is called The Game Changers.
The Game Changers?
Mm-hmm.
And where can you find that?
That's on Netflix.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate everybody listening. If you like this episode, share it with a friend, maybe on social media. We really appreciate when you guys do that because it helps us out tremendously. If you don't want to do either of those, that's cool. Do us a favor and leave us a review, preferably a 5-star on your favorite platform. Thank you so very much, and we'll see you next week. I'm Mike.
I'm Nick.
I'll see you then.
Feeling overwhelmed by climate change? Looking for sustainable and ethical brands to support? Then Ethic is perfect for you. Ethic is a simple browser extension that helps you find sustainable and ethical brands online. Learn more at ethic.org, ethyk.org.